Hello and welcome to Presenting, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games, typically Paizo products such as Pathfinder and Starfinder, but also others. I'm John Godek, and with me today is Mike Kimmel. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
Mike is a longtime Paizo freelancer with over a dozen credits in Pathfinder 1st Edition, Pathfinder 2nd Edition, and Starfinder. He also founded the Freelance Forge, an online community for current and aspiring RPG writers. And just last month, he joined Paizo as an organized play developer.
Yeah.
That's a lot. You've done a lot.
Well, it certainly does feel like a long time when you put it that way. It's been exactly 1 month, in fact, today since I joined Paizo.
Wow. Yeah. And I've been, you know, asking you to do this interview for longer than that. So I'm glad we finally get you in.
Me too.
Did you know, like, you've been in the application process for a while then. So did you know for a while that you were going to get this position?
Well, this specific position, I don't know how long it was. I'd been talking with folks at Paizo on and off for a couple years, nothing like offered or official or anything like that, just kind of thinking about making a career change and occasionally considering it. And just the timing never worked out for me to actually apply and go through the process until very recently. So here I am now.
Yeah, I saw that call and I actually knew some other folks that were applying for this position. So now I can see why they didn't get it, because you are like super qualified compared to a lot of folks. You know, so you started your career actually as a program coordinator and also a teacher. How did you end up making this transition to organized play developer?
Well, I consider it to be kind of two things that I've been doing side by side. So it's not like being a teacher led like to this directly or anything like that. But just pretty much right around, it was actually the year that I started teaching was the same year that I finally made some progress in RPG Superstar, which was Paizo's kind of open call contest that they ran. And that was 2014. So the contest started 2013 and wrapped up in 2014. And so my experience as a program coordinator was kind of before that, before grad school, and just as a kind of in-between thing. But certainly I learned a lot of like time management skills and project management kind of related skills that are helping me a lot now as a writer. Teaching was such a valuable experience for me. And it was a difficult decision to leave that field and come into working with organized play at Paizo, but absolutely the right thing to do, and it feels great to be where I am. Teachers tend to put their heart and soul into it, so it's like a big deal. But I also have a lot of my heart and soul in Paizo organized play, and have been open about just how much it's impacted me in the past, and the process of writing through some pretty difficult times. So,
So you were doing high school teaching before?
Yeah, I taught humanities, social studies, and English at a kind of an alternative school, alternative public school outside Seattle. So, for students who needed a different experience than they get at the big high schools. And so that was grade 9 through 12. And then for 2 years, I was an instructional coach for the district. So I would go, I didn't have students of my own, but I would go work with other teachers and do curriculum development and training and things like that. So that the curriculum development piece was also like really valuable in the kind of skills that I need now as a scenario developer, adventure developer. Just constantly churning out more and more content that's going to be used by a wide variety of people and needs to be clear and consistent and high quality.
Yeah. And I imagine your background in the arts and in English also helped quite a bit with your freelance writing.
There's no doubt about that. Just as someone who teaches writing, I wouldn't call myself like a history buff necessarily. My background is more international studies but all of that just sort of served to make me a better writer and for sure.
So does this mean that all our future scenarios that you're developing are going to be have fewer errors in terms of grammar and stuff? You're going to be catching all that for us?
Oh, well, every single scenario has lots of people looking at it, and we do our best.
it's kind of funny. I GM a lot, and so I'm reading through things, and it's just like, wait, this doesn't make sense. Oh, they skipped a word, or that's a wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a really simple thing, but until you read it out loud, oftentimes you don't notice that it's like, it's cumbersome how it's written. It's always interesting. I've talked to a couple other people that have education background, like Jason Nelson, who runs Legendary Games.
Oh yeah.
So he was in education. And I myself am a full-time educator. So
oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of interesting. And for me, I actually think teaching is a lot like the classroom part is actually a lot like GMing. This is something I've talked about quite a bit. And then as you're saying, the curriculum prep, that's a lot like writing and developing and writing stuff. So yeah. I think it's a really great pipeline. Now I don't know that we should encourage people to take that pipeline necessarily in RPGs, but I think it has shown some success. Now, can you tell us a little bit about what your job as organized play developer is? Like, what does that all entail now?
Sure. So Paizo has an organized play program for both Pathfinder and Starfinder, which are, you can make a character and take that character to any store or convention around the world and play in a consistent campaign. Whoever you end up with, as long as they're playing organized play, you can play with them. And so I work on the scenarios, which are kind of 4 or 5 hours long, and then the bounties, which are shorter, like 1 hour sessions for Pathfinder Society specifically. And so I do every month, I help with the Pathfinder bounties and scenarios. So that's a lot of outlining scenarios and assigning to our freelancers and then guiding them through the process of writing and giving feedback. And then when the final turnover comes in, it's checking it for grammar, like you said, and then also just for mechanics and hammering it out to send on to editing and layout and copy editing and all the other steps that go into making a PDF. These are all digital products, not physical books like we do for the rule books. And so, there's a lot that goes into each one of them and a lot of people on the team. And it's a fun process to be part of.
Now, recently, Thurston Hillman has come over from the Starfinder developing side over to Pathfinder. Is he somebody you work with now, too?
Yes. His new official title is Pathfinder Society Developer, whereas I am Organized Play Developer. Essentially, he's the lead for Pathfinder Society. So in addition to what I do, he also does all those things and works on the bigger picture, overarching themes and goals for any given year or season of organized play, as well as working more closely with the the other creative leads and to make sure that the stories are consistent and in line with the goals for Galarian, which is the setting, and Pathfinder, the sort of the brand.
So then does he provide like kind of the overarching season long picture to you and then you kind of break it up into the smaller pieces, or how does that relationship work?
Well, right now, being only a month into the job.
you don't have all this wired yet?
Right. I'm coming in also at the end of a current season, right? We're wrapping up year 2 of Pathfinder Society. And so So Thirsty is really taking the lead on making sure that year two is wrapped up the way that they had envisioned, and getting year three kind of outlined and started was a process that already had been happening. Mm-hmm. You know, we're excited for what's coming. And so I'm kind of very deep in developing the scenarios right now and doing less of the big picture stuff, but we'll see mm-hmm. where it goes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that development's already kind of taken place for the stuff you're working on. But I imagine pretty soon they'll be looking at year four, and that's, you'll probably have more say into that.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
Maybe next month you'll find that part.
Yeah, tomorrow yes. I could, you know, it's, you know, there's a lot of people on the team who do all kinds of different pieces of it. And yeah. I'm just one of many. So
you joined in the middle of a pandemic, for anybody who's listening to this that is not in the current year. And have you had a chance to meet with everybody prior to the pandemic in person? Or are there a lot of folks that you only know virtually that you're working with now?
Yeah, it's a mix. I've met plenty of people at conventions, PaizoCon, and I went to Gen Con in 2018. And there are also plenty of people who I work with remotely and have never met. So yeah, it's a mix. I know a lot of the folks on the sort of the editorial side, who I've done freelancing for in the past.
Right.
Who are, you know, in the organized playrooms at the conventions and things like that. But certainly there's plenty of folks I've not met.
Yeah, I just think starting a new job in a pandemic has got to be kind of interesting when you don't, like, have you even been to the Paizo office? I mean, since you started?
Well, I had to pick up my, you know, some stuff to get started. But other than that, it was like 2 minutes in and out.
Yeah. No, it's kind of funny.
You know, there's people who are there for various reasons, but not.
Right. So they haven't even assigned you a desk in there probably then.
I think they know where I'll be, but it's, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's kind of funny. So you were mentioning RPG Superstar, and you were in the Final Four for that in 2014?
That's right.
Yeah, that's
was, I think, the fifth year I had submitted.
So. Well, so was that the start of your freelance career, or had you already been doing stuff before then?
I had written for a small third-party Pathfinder publisher starting in 2010, I want to say. Or end of 2009, LPJ Design, which I got just by sending an email when somebody was on Twitter, I think, saying, I need someone to write something, some feats for the Rogue, I think, for Pathfinder First Edition. And I said, hey, I could give it a try. I hadn't really thought about freelancing before that, but I saw it and I said, I'll give it a shot. And he asked for some samples, and I sent off a couple feats. I think I wrote them on a plane flying back from college at some point or something. Yeah. And he liked them, so I started writing. So I did a little bit of that for a couple years. And then that's also when I decided, I'll try this RPG Superstar thing. And eventually that led to top four placement, which back in that time meant that I got asked to write a scenario for season six.
Yeah, and so that was kind of the real start then for your career, because you have, like, I was counting what I can see, you have over a dozen credits with Paizo, and I'm sure there's more in the works.
Yeah, I think I have, I don't know where you're looking right now, I don't have them really all listed in one place. I have about 20, I think, right
now. Wow, then you need to update your LinkedIn, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, LinkedIn is a funny thing. I've never used it for like freelancing before.
Right. Well, you're the first person I saw that had them all. You had a bunch of them listed on there, though.
You know, usually because I was applying for this.
Recently.
I guess I should go and look in there. I wonder what I didn't put on.
Well, I usually dig around, and you know, if you have a name that's not you know, really common. I'll look up and try to figure out what you've done so I kind of know how to introduce you. And and I was like, wow, look at this. He's got all these things listed. This makes it so much easier than me having to poke around and, you know, every little system. But how did you, you talked about how you got started. So you wrote that one scenario.
Sure.
How did you become so prolific then that now you have like 20 plus credits?
You know, about half of those are organized play scenarios of various kinds. And then the other ones are just little pieces, odds and ends, that I've done for other departments along the way. I guess it's always awkward to ask for more work, but I think that's part of the key is just learning how to ask and not being too deterred. If someone says like, no, we're not right now, then you just like wait a while and ask again. Like, it's, you know, don't pester people, but you know, mm-hmm. 3 months, 6 months go by and just a little polite reminder. And you know, I also tend to get work. I think people tend to get work if they go to a convention or are for the case of organized play, if you're participating in organized play and putting yourself out there and earning GM stars and posting on the forums and talking to people, then developers are going to see that you're a volunteer. You know, it's a volunteer organization, so they're going to see you're putting in the time and the effort and you're part of the community, and that certainly draws attention as well. So just all those things kind of contribute to.
I hope that helps, because I'm doing a lot of that GMing and volunteering, and I'm really wanting to write a scenario. And you know, I don't know. Thirsty didn't really pay much attention to me. I'm hoping Jenny pays more attention, because I've GM'd for her before. So,
well, you just go ahead and pester them and tell them I sent you.
Oh no, no,
no guarantees. No.
I try not to. You know, I'm getting stuff from other folks for the hardcovers, and actually, Pathfinder AP. I've gotten some back matter stuff recently, but I really want to get into scenarios. That's you know, I've been doing a lot of GMing. You know, I'm really close. I'm going to be this month. I'm going to get my fifth Nova. That's kind of my plan right now. I need three more scenarios, four more scenarios, wow, something like that. So anyway, I'm hoping to knock that out. And it's like, I really want it. That's kind of the next thing. I really like to get involved in that. And I just don't know quite the right way. Because like you said, I don't want to pester people too much, you know?
Well, that's hundreds of hours of work to get five Novas. Goodness gracious.
Well, and it's fun. I like doing it. You know, yeah. Most of them are for the local folks, but I do a lot of conventions too.
Sure.
So, well, now tell me about this Freelance Forge thing. You know, what's that all about, and why did you get that started in the first place?
Yeah. So I started that the same year that I was making some real headway in RPG Superstar. I'd heard of an old group, freelancer group called the Ware Cabbages. I think Adam Daigle had mentioned it. Mm-hmm. He's a developer at Paizo, a managing developer now. And I thought, you know, I'm trying to do this freelancing thing. I'm a teacher. Why don't I start a community, just a forum community, free community for people to come in and just learn freelancing and just work together. And, you know, collaboration, it makes everybody better. Not that you can really collaborate on a assignment where you've signed a contract,
yes,
or anything like that, but you can,
and an NDA and everything.
Yeah, exactly. You can't really, you know, unless they're on your team of freelancers for that project, you can't really go outside that group, but you can collaborate on more general things and practice writing and learn about the business, as it were. And so I just kind of made it, and then I invited people. I started just inviting people who were in RPG Superstar and posting there, and that's kind of how it started. And then it grew. So here we are later, with lots of people who've joined up and said that it's helped them quite a bit. So,
and if somebody wants to check it out, where would they find this thing?
So I'm on Twitter sometimes at Freelance Forge, and there's a link on there to the forum itself, which is https, you know, :// that whole thing, and then freelanceforge.boards.net. So it's just a free forum. We tried a paid thing for a while, but that didn't work out. So mm-hmm. Freelance Forge, www.boards.net. You have to register. You'll see there, you know, when you go on, there's like nothing there. There's just like a welcome post because it is a private community. But that just means you have to read the code of conduct and then register. And then I personally get an email. And, you know, as soon as I see it, I go in and check and make sure, is this a real looking email address? And then I approve it. And you can hop in and introduce yourself and start learning about freelancing.
Yeah. And how many folks do you have on there now? Do you know?
There's over 200 total registered members. We have maybe about 15 to 20 people logging in any given day, I want to say. So there's kind of a, you know, a core group of people who are on more often, and then some people who hop in occasionally, but you know, that's okay. People benefit from forums by lurking, you know, sometimes, and we do ask people to be relatively active, but we're there to help and to have people learn. So,
yeah, no, I've only been on there. Shoot, I guess I could look at the date. I think I've been on there maybe a couple of years, and I noticed that there's been a big influx since then of folks, but also there's a lot of established RPG, you know, freelancers on there that are giving free advice, you know, like, like one of the first people I saw on there who was doing a lot was Kate Baker, who who's just been knocking it out of the park for the last couple of years.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then lot of other folks that have gotten started and rolling, you know, like Jessica Catalan, Hillary Moon Murphy, you know, folks that a couple of years ago didn't really have anything going, and now they're doing lots and lots of stuff.
Yeah, so, you know, I like to think Freelance Forge has helped at least a little bit.
Yeah.
Kate Baker is one of our staff now. She's been so active and helpful in recruiting people and is just awesome all around and a great freelancer. So she's officially one of our staff. Not that it's, you know, paid or anything.
But she gets a shiny title, though. That's good, right?
Yeah.
All right. So what advice do you have for people who are interested in breaking into freelance other than going to Freelance Forge and hanging out?
Other than going to Freelance Forge and hanging out, that was one of my bullet points.
I was guessing. So, you know, I want to make you stretch beyond that.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's part of a larger bullet point, which is practice, practice, practice. So, and don't give up. So, you know, I submitted my first RPG Superstar entry in 2009 or 2010, and it was, you know, looking back, it was very silly. I broke so many of the rules that they said, like, don't do this, but I just kind of did it, and I wasn't looking too closely, and I just kind of submitted something, and looking back, it's like, well, that's no good. But I got better, you know. The next year I was an alternate, and then I was a top 32 at one point, and then eventually top 4, and it's because I just kept writing stuff and practicing. The other thing I did during that time, those couple years, was I played a ton of Pathfinder. I ran a lot of Pathfinder and played several APs. I played Jade Region. I ran Rune Lords. We did all kinds of stuff. I ran several of the modules from former winners of RPG Superstar who get to write a module. And this was before I had kids, keep in mind, but I was playing every week, you know, once or twice a week. Just really getting to know not only the system and, but also, you know, the published written adventures and the style of those. The other thing I'd suggest to people is to put yourself out there. Like, don't be shy. You know, get in touch with people and be visible in the community. From my perspective, you know, organized play is a great way to do that, because there's so many events happening all the time and people hear about it, you know. I'd also say it's important to be professional and kind, even if you want to, you know, freelance for other folks other than Paizo. It's a pretty small community, the role-playing game community. It's not like a massive hobby. It's a small group of people who talk to each other. Like, there's people who work for Wizards of the Coast who used to work for Kobold Press, or, you know, people at Kobold who know people over at Paizo, and we certainly know the people at Legendary Games, and you know, you name a third party publisher and they know somebody at dozens of other publishers. And so being professional and kind is certainly important, not just not to burn bridges, but also to make connections, which is, you know, that's part of the game. For introverts like me, it's really hard at conventions to like give people a business card and actually make a good impression. But that's not one of the only, you know, that's not the only thing you have to be good at, but it certainly helps to be able to show that you're a kind and caring and professional person. So
Mike, what can you talk about that's coming next for you personally as a freelancer and also for organized play development? Can you speak to anything there that without spilling all the beans?
Sure. Well, as a freelancer, kind of right before I joined Paizo, I was on a long hiatus. This is actually a good tip for people who want to break into freelancing as well, is to know your limits. So I took a long 8-month break, even before the pandemic hit. I had decided I was going to take this break because I had taken on a little bit too much, and I had just had a second kid, and things were getting a little busy, and I missed a couple of deadlines. I communicated, you know, ahead of time about those, which was also very important. Communicate with your people who are asking you to write stuff. So I did communicate, but I missed a few deadlines. And so I decided, you know, I need to take a break. So I took a long break. The only thing I've written as a freelancer recently is a Starfinder scenario that came out this past month. So we'll see what happens next. Right now I'm pretty busy working, new job and everything, but might take on some work soon. From the organized play perspective, you know, there, as I mentioned before, there's kind of overarching plots that happen from year to year. So Starfinder and Pathfinder are going to have new plots kicking off at various conventions and in the spring and summer. And convention season also means we do slightly more content than usual because we like to have more offerings available at those conventions. You know, whatever format the conventions are taking this year, we're still going to have scenarios for whatever is happening. So it's going to get pretty busy for us just as developers to be assigning and developing a little bit more than usual. It's just, we're heading into kind of a busy time. Lots and lots of exciting things going on. I wish I could be specific.
No, that's fine.
It's things like that. But, you know, you don't have to wait either to, if you're listening to this and you're maybe thinking about getting into organized play, you don't have to wait for the new plots or anything. There's also exciting ones happening right now that are new scenarios every single month. If you've not even played Pathfinder, maybe you're thinking you're coming from Starfinder or something like that. There's the beginner box that's out, and the bounty that just came out, bounty number 6, The Road from Otari, is a great connection that kind of leads from the beginner box into organized play. So don't think that you have to wait for all these exciting things that I can't talk about. There's lots that you can play right now. That's very cool.
Yeah, it's exciting every year. This is just the old excitement versus the new excitement. And if it's all new to you, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me, John.